Going back to the book of Colossians for our study tonight, take our text from the section of text we read a few moments ago, Colossians 2, verse 1 through 7. Specifically, our subject will come from verse 5. Colossians 2 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul begins as he writes to the saints at Colossae in chapter 1 and in verse 1 by saying to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul was in prison when he wrote this epistle, written perhaps in the spring of 63 A.D. He identifies those to whom he's writing to as located in Colossae, but they're also located in a spiritual way in Christ. That is, they're in association and fellowship and in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He identifies them as saints and faithful brethren. That little word "and," that coordinating conjunction between saints and faithful, could have been easily translated "that is," to the saints that is or that are faithful. Saints, saw that word this morning, translated "holy" sometimes, translated "saints" sometimes, translated other ways as well, has reference to those who've been sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart and consecrated, devoted to His will, and thus they live holy, upright, and pure lives. But He also characterizes them as faithful brethren. Faithful, those who are trustworthy, reliable, and dependable in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of that faithfulness, of course, is in relation to the gospel which they had originally obeyed. In Colossians 2 and in verse 5, Paul said, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Rejoicing to see your good order. The good order has to do with their well-ordered or well-regulated life, their good behavior, their good conduct. But our study this morning centers around this idea of steadfastness of faith. Paul rejoiced to see their steadfastness of faith in Christ Jesus. Let's define steadfastness. The word steadfastness itself in our text, translated that way in the King James and New King James and American Standard Version and others, comes from a Greek word that simply means solid, firm, unyielding, stable. It speaks of that which has stability. And in the New American Standard Bible, it's translated firm, firmness in the English Standard Version. So he's speaking about the stability of a Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus, their firmness, their unwilling to yield in their faith in Christ Jesus, them being stable and firm in their faith in Christ Jesus. In many things, Christians are to bend and yield and be pliable. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 6 and following, Paul said, "But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? They should yield even at the loss of something. They should yield and be pliable in regard to the desire to seek vengeance against the brother that has wronged them in some way, but yet they take them before ungodly judges." We see in 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 20, Paul said, "To the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not as being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law." Could we say that Paul was pliable, that he yielded? And, of course, he was still firm and fixed in his faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 9, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that so that are in order that, by all means save some." Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. So in many things, Christians are to bend and yield and be pliable. However, in faith, Christians are to be unyielding. They're to be steadfast. They're to be firm. They're to be immovable. As our text says, Paul rejoices to see not only their good order, but their steadfastness of faith and their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that Christians are to be unyielding and steadfast in their faith is that the Word of God, the very basis of our faith, is firm, fixed, and unyielding. Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God itself is unyielding. It is not like some piece of elastic that's able to be stretched and covers a great deal of things. Read an article years ago about the elastic gospel. Matter of fact, there was a preacher who had a sermon about the elastic gospel. That the gospel is like a piece of elastic to some. They stretch it to cover a broad section of people and a broad belief. But it's unyielding, it's firm, it's fixed. It is not something that is pliable and yields. The Word of God is firm and unyielding and fixed. We see it time and time again in the Scriptures. Galatians 1 and in verse 6, Paul said to the Galatian brethren, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ, note this, to a different gospel, which is not another, but there's some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, apostles, or an angel of the Lord, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we preach, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. The word is, let him be dedicated or devoted to eternal destruction. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. It's according to God. He received it from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not something that is pliable and bendable. It is fixed and unyielding. In Hebrews 2 and in verse 1, the Hebrew writer said, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. The things they had heard was the gospel of Jesus Christ. For if the word spoken through angels, this is the old law, the law that came by the direction of angels, if that law proved steadfast, know that, if it proved steadfast, it was firm and fixed, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? If the old law was steadfast, firm, and fixed, so is the law of Jesus Christ our Lord as well. Jude 3. Jude said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all, one time for all times, delivered to the saints. The faith, there's not another. It's firm and fixed, and it is unyielding, and we must be steadfast in it. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the Hebrew writer said, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So in faith, Christians are to be unyielding and steadfast, because the very basis of their faith, the Word of God, is that way. If the Word of God is unyielding, if it's stable, firm, and fixed, so should our faith be. In faith, Christians are to be unyielding and steadfast because the God whose Word the Word of God is also firm and unyielding. God doesn't change. He's firm and he's fixed. He's immovable. James 1 and verse 12, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, note this, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There's no variation. There's no change in God. He doesn't turn. He is unyielding. In faith, Christians are to be unyielding as well. Hence, the faith of a Christian is to be stern, firm, and steadfast. 1 Peter 5 and in verse 8, Peter said, our adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so he says, resist him, oppose him, stand against him. How? Steadfast in the faith. That's how you resist the devil. That's how you oppose him. You stand steadfast. You stand fixed, firm, and unyielding in the faith, in the gospel. You be unmovable, and he will not devour you. Once you become yielding in the faith, unfirm and unfixed, he will devour you like an adversary that he is. So the Colossians, Paul rejoiced to see their steadfastness of faith. But there were others in the New Testament who were said to be steadfast in their faith as well. In Acts 16 and in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in the number. Churches under consideration were those in the region of Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, where Paul and Silas and others had taken the letters that had been written by the apostles and the elders in the church at Jerusalem regarding whether Gentiles should be circumcised in order to be saved. They distributed those letters, and based upon those instructions contained in those letters, the churches were strengthened. There's our word. Same word, translated steadfastness. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. They were strengthened in faith. That is, they stood steadfast in the faith. Not only were they strong in the faith to begin with, you might say, but having received these letters from the church at Jerusalem and the apostles about whether Gentiles should be circumcised in order to be saved, they remained steadfast in the faith. King James Version says they were established in the faith. But most versions, New King James, English Standard Version, American Standard, New American Standard, New International, all use the word strengthened in the faith. They were steadfast in the faith. Being steadfast in the faith has always been a problem with man, though. Man does not always stand fast and firm and fixed in the gospel. He's often yielding and pliable in his trustworthiness and reliability to keep it. Acts 8 and verse 13, regard to Simon the sorcerer, then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued to Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received, note this, they'd received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit as a person. They received the power of the Holy Spirit, a gift of the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. Simon had not long been a Christian, but he was not firm and fixed in the faith, was he? He wasn't steadfast. One would think, well, being a new Christian, it would be easy for him to perhaps be yielding. and give himself up to the avenue of Satan's temptation, not being firm in the faith? But what about an apostle of Jesus Christ? What about Peter himself in Galatians 2 and in verse 11? Now when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul said, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Peter succumbed to the temptation and yielded in his faith. He was not firm and fixed on this occasion. Yes, being steadfast in faith has always been a problem with men, regardless of who they were. We see it time and time again. In 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 8, Paul said to the young evangelist Timothy while Timothy labored with the church in Ephesus, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, and who do you suppose anyone is? Any of the Christians in the church in Ephesus. He has denied the faith, rejected the faith, and is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. Another example, 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness or their covetousness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They've strayed from the faith. They've wandered away from the faith. They've gotten off the straight and narrow. They were not firm and fixed in their faith. Their covetousness got the best of them. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 20, Paul told the young evangelist, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Paul had entrusted the gospel to Timothy. Avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, by professing it some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you, amen. Some have strayed from the faith. Gone after the wisdom of men instead of the wisdom of God. Not being firm and fixed in the faith. This is a great warning to us. If those of the first century, even if an apostle, could not be firm and fixed in the faith, we better take a warning from that. We might succumb to trial and tribulation and temptation in our life and not be as firm, fixed, and stable and unyielding in faith as we should be. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest any of you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Since you know these things, the things under consideration, of course, are the chains and tribulations coming to Christians, the persecutions. But be steadfast in your faith, even in the face of those things. If not, the reason is very obvious. If we're not firm and fixed and steadfast in our faith, even in the face of trial, tribulation, persecution, imprisonment, whatever it is obvious that we'll be worse off in the end than we were in the beginning. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, note this, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. I want you to think about that for a moment. How could we as children of God be worse off after having known the gospel and gone back into the world than first having known it to begin with or never known it to begin with? But that's what the text says. Having known the truth and fallen away from it, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness Another way of saying it have been better for them not to have heard the gospel and become obedient to it, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment, that is from the gospel delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb: a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed her wallowing in the mire. So we need to take heed, take warning, and be steadfast in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, our latter end will be worse than the beginning. We can develop firmness and steadfastness of faith. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we develop firmness and steadfastness of faith by letting the Word of God dwell, abide, or remain in us. 1 John 2 and in verse 14, John says, "I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men," note this, "because you are strong." You're strong. You're firm. You're fixed. And the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Remember the passage we read a few moments ago about the devil devouring us? Therefore, watch. Be on guard. Be alert. We need to be steadfastness, firm and fixed in the Word of God. Firm and fixed in Christ. And if it abides in us, we can develop our firmness, our fixity. We can be stable children of God in the faith. We can exhibit stability in our lives as children of God. We'll not be on again and off again. Will not be vacillating between one opinion and another opinion. Firm and fixed in what the Scripture teaches. If we'll simply let the Word of God dwell in us. The Word of God dwells in us, Christ dwells in us. John 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Christ abides in us, dwells in us, remains in us, in that His Word dwells in us. John 15 and verse 7. So as Christ dwells in us, He dwells in us through the Word. And as Christ's Word dwells in us, lives in us, abides in us, continues in us, we become firm and fixed in the faith, in His Word, the Word of God. We can also become firm and stable in faith by withstanding trials and tribulations that come our way. James 1 and verse 2 and following, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," produces perseverance. When your faith is tested and you become unyielding, you stand strong and firm and fixed and are not moved away from your Lord Jesus Christ, you persevere. Trials of faith do nothing but help you to be able to produce perseverance and steadfastness in your life. And so, the more firm and fixed you are, the more firm and fixed you'll become as trials of faith come your way. We can also develop firmness and steadfastness of faith by being careful and by putting forth a great deal of effort. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, excuse me. Watch. Be on guard. Be alert. Be vigilant. Stand fast in the faith. Be strong. So watch. Be vigilant. Be alert for every trial, tribulation, and temptation that comes your way that will test your faith. Put forth much effort. Stand fast. You've got to be dedicated and devoted to do that. You just can't be wishy-washy. You can't be like a piece of wet milk toast. You've got to be strong, firm and fixed. You got to be arrogant in the face of Satan. But you've also got to recognize and realize that you're subject to falling if you place too much pride in your own self and your own ability to overcome. You better ask the Lord for help, because it is only by and with His help that we're able to overcome. And He provides a great deal of that help through the Word itself. The steadfastness of our faith then can be seen in our behavior, in our actions, our works, and our deed. Every activity of life shows whether we're steadfast in faith or not. James 2 and verse 18, if someone says, "You have faith and I have works," what would I say? "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Faith is only displayed. Faith is only shown in one's life by the works, actions, and deeds that they do. Your steadfastness of faith is seen in every activity of your life. People can look at your life, your good order, your well-regulated life. Hopefully that's what they see. And they see one who is steadfast in faith, because they see your conduct, your actions, and your deeds. We have similar admonitions of this, to be steadfast in faith, throughout the Scriptures. For example, in 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 7, Paul said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." I've kept the faith. The word "kept" there can be understood in two senses. I've obeyed the faith. He had certainly done that. But he has kept the faith in the sense that he has kept it secure. He has kept it pure. He has taught it as it was delivered to him. But he's been steadfast in it for certain. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, another admonition very similar to being steadfast in faith. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Be steadfast, firm, fixed, and unyielding in your faith. Colossians 1 and verse 21, "And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled." You come on peaceful terms with your Heavenly Father again. "In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." Only if we're firm and fixed in our faith will we strive to perfect holiness in our life. Only if we're firm and fixed in our faith where we strive to be blameless and undefiled in this life. Only if we're steadfast in the faith will we be above reproach. We must be firm and fixed in our faith. Acts 20 and verse 24. None of these things, the chains and persecutions mentioned in the previous context, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, Paul said, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was steadfast in his faith. How about you? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, or unless indeed you are reprobate, disapproved in His sight. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Remember, He is in you only if the Word of God is in you. If the Word of God finds in your heart a place that is unmovable, steadfast, unyielding, firm, and fixed, the lesson is yours. I hope you will strive to be firm and fixed in your faith in the future. I pray that that be the case, and I hope you'll be praying the same for me, because we're all in need of steadfastness of faith each day of our life. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, our prayer is that you would become one. through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, we encourage you to repent of that sin. That simply means that you yielded to trial or tribulation or temptation in your life. You weren't as fixed and firm, perhaps, as you thought you were in the faith. We all, at time, you might say, become unstuck. We become unglued. We're not as fixed and firm as we should be. Repent. Confess your sin to God. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.